in the name of Jesus, who shines upon us so that we might shine the light of the world. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brian helped us out, and the children helped us out by getting you started thinking about what kinds of fear maybe that you have. I'd like for you to think about maybe some other kinds of fears that you might have, and one of those might be that of sickness or death. Sickness and death sometimes cause us great fear, especially if our loved ones are sick and there's that uncertainty about it. Maybe there's some fear because we're fear of being harmed. Those terrible pictures of those young children, those children who are fearful because maybe loved ones are the ones that they're afraid of. And of course, spiders and snakes and all those kinds of things that cause us fear. There's some good things to be afraid of too, right? Touch a hot stove one time and you learn, don't you? Fear of touching something that's hot. It's stranger danger that we want to teach our children, right? To kind of be a little bit careful and afraid of strangers and not to be too careful with them. Maybe it's loss of control, a fear of the loss of control that you have, or maybe the fear of getting caught by speeding or going through a traffic light or whatever helps us out as we're driving our vehicles and the like. Then there's the very common kinds of fears. The fear of being embarrassed, the fear of looking foolish, the fear of being ridiculed by others or maybe not accepted by others. There's lots of fears that are in our lives. To all of these fears, Jesus comes to us three times, as you can see, three times in our gospel reading tonight, and he says to us, do not be afraid about those who might call you names like Beelzebul, like they did to Jesus. Do not be afraid about those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. And then Jesus thirdly says, don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. Three times Jesus says to his disciples. Jesus was ready to send out his 12 apostles. He was going to send them out on their own. And they were going to go out and they were going to proclaim the kingdom. They were going to proclaim the good news to the people all around. But the 12 apostles knew about Jeremiah. You know that first scripture reading for tonight? The Old Testament scripture reading of Jeremiah where he complains and he says, whoa, when I speak your word, then people are against me and people reject me and people say bad things about me and even my friends are going to be doing that. They knew about John the Baptizer who had come and said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is here. And what did they do? They cut off his head. They knew that sometimes when you speak the word of God, when you speak God's word to people, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to accept it, and that it's kind of dangerous. So it's kind of frightening. Jesus sends them out and says, speak my word to the world, and it's a little frightening. Same thing for us today, too, right? The world doesn't want to hear us say, that's a sin. You shouldn't be doing that. The world doesn't want us to say, you really need to repent and turn to Jesus. The world doesn't want to hear that something is wrong and something is right. They want to make that decision themselves. There's all kinds of things that the world doesn't want us to hear. And yet Jesus calls upon us to come out and to be the light of the world. Thank you, praise band, for singing that. To be those who speak that word to the world. Calvin Coolidge, one of our former presidents, the 30th president of the United States early in the 1920s, he was nicknamed Silent Cal. One time when he was asked by a reporter about a recent meeting, President Coolidge replied, I have nothing to say, and don't quote me. Are we silent Christians? When we have an opportunity to witness about Jesus Christ, or maybe to speak out against something that is wrong in society, are we silent Christians? I have nothing to say and don't quote me. We silently don't say anything. I purposely put this visual up there. here's some Christians that were not silent, were they? They were not silent, and they're going to their death. Why is it that we're so frightened? Aren't we maybe afraid of being ridiculed by others? Aren't we maybe sometimes afraid of saying the wrong thing and being corrected by someone else? Or maybe we're even afraid of feeling foolish and not being accepted by that special group or whoever it is that is there. There's some real fears, aren't there? There's some real fears, especially in our Christian witness. But how interesting it is that Jesus says, "Do not fear the people. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but fear those who can kill the soul." And so Jesus says, rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Be afraid of God? That's kind of what he's saying, isn't it? What's the right kind of fear? The right kind of fear that God would have us to do? Interesting, Jesus, as he's speaking to the 12 apostles, we just had it read in the gospel, there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. Jesus wants us to speak that truth and to speak it boldly. And when we don't speak it, then he calls us to account, and he wants us to be speaking those words. How interesting it is that in the Old Testament and other times, that God really did put his fear in the people. You remember at Mount Sinai? Mount Sinai, the people were terrified. God showed his great power with thunder and lightning and earthquake and all of that as he comes and speaks to them the Ten Commandments and the law. He put the fear of the Lord in them so that they might listen to him and hear his message. How interesting it is that this Jay Witherspoon says, it's only the fear of God that can deliver us from the fear of man. Sometimes we need to have that fear of God and that fear of, oh no, if I don't say those kinds of things, what will happen to help us to overcome the fear of man? But that's not the right kind of fear that God would have us to do. God does not want us to be afraid of him. He certainly wants us to understand the law. He certainly wants us to understand this is right and this is wrong, and it's very clear in God's word. It's very important that we do understand that God calls us to speak the truth into a world today. In fact, it was at that Mount Sinai, as God gave to them the fear of the Lord and told them those Ten Commandments, he also gave to them that promise. Martin Luther helps us out with that conclusion to the Ten Commandments. You remember how Martin Luther helps us to understand God threatens to punish those who transgress these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not act contrary to them. But he promises grace. That's the right kind of fear. The right kind of fear is the grace in Jesus Christ. He promises grace to all those who obey and listen and follow his commands. He promises his grace to them. And that's what Jesus says in the gospel reading. Jesus speaks to his disciples and says, go out and don't be afraid to speak my word, even though you'll face ridicule and rejection and all of these things. And he says it because my Father in heaven will take care of you. He talks about the God, the Father, who gives us those commands, but then he talks about the Father as the one who says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one sparrow falls to the ground except your Father knows? And then he says, even the hairs on your head are all numbered. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. All the hairs of our head are numbered. He knows us so very, very well, and he values us. He loves us and cares for us and wants to protect us and gives us that great protection. God would have us to speak the truth of His Word and to speak that boldly. Not to live like the time of the judges, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Oh, how we live in a world like that today, don't we? God punished Sodom and Gomorrah because of sodomy, because of homosexuality. We live in a world today that just openly accepts it and even flaunts it on television. God punished sexual immorality over and over and over again in Scripture and speaks against that. And yet, what we used to call living in sin and adultery, people just kind of take for granted now, and people just live together and pretend that about marriage. Children disobedient to parents and disrespectful to them. Fathers not caring for and caring for their children. Those fathers and mothers who provoke their children to anger rather than bringing them up in the authority of God. Public scandals by our elected officials. And by majority vote, we decide about the public scandals rather than, and no respect for those in authority. Aren't we in that same boat? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. God sends us into this world like He sent the 12 apostles, and He says, have the right kind of fear, the great love and respect for God to speak the truth of His Word. Do this because we're no longer under law, but under grace. Did you catch that in the Romans passage? Ooh, Romans 6, what a chapter of the Bible. We no longer are under law, but now we're under grace. We're under God's grace so that by His grace, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the right kind of fear and respect and love for God, the gift of God is eternal life. You see, God's wrath was poured out upon Jesus. The wrath that we deserved was fully placed upon Jesus, and Jesus suffered that wrath of God so that we might fear, love, and trust in Him, so that we might receive His righteousness. And having His righteousness changes our lives. It changes our lives for the better. Now, we don't need to fear those who can possibly hurt us in the body. We love and fear and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus. Fear and love and trust in God, the right kind of fear to have. Now, we can forfeit that kind of grace that God gives. We can refuse it and forfeit it. We dare not do that. We share it instead. This next weekend is coming up, 4th of July, signing of the Declaration of Independence. You know, at the time when our forefathers signed that Declaration of Independence, what they signed, the last part of it says, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Those original signers of the Declaration of Independence, 13 colonies was all it was at that time, but they were willing to give their honor, their fortunes, and their sacred honor in order for an earthly kingdom. We have a heavenly kingdom. We have a divine kingdom. We have a Savior Jesus. Oh, the right kind of fear and trust and respect and love for God compels us to speak out His gracious and great love. And we do that as we gladly hear and learn it, as we gather together as we are again tonight to hear His Word and to be empowered by His Word and to be blessed by His Word, so that as in families, we continue with our devotions and our prayers and helping our children and us to continue to grow as we gather in worship, as we commune together, all the different ways that God continues to be a great blessing in us. We have the right kind of fear, the fear of the Lord, the true fear and love and trust in Jesus. And so may He continue to fill us with the right kind of fear, and as He is with us and leads us each and every day, in the precious name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, that passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and our minds unafraid, the right kind of fear unto life everlasting. Amen.